Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Josh Engelman here to break down a two-game NBA slate. We have Cavs and Celtics in Boston, game one. We have Dallas and OKC in Oklahoma City, game one. Excited for one of these games? Hard to be excited for Cleveland-Boston. You just assume Boston handles them. The line in that game, 11.5 in the second round of the playoffs. Insane. And probably have Jared Allen back. So essentially full strength Cleveland. Only if they had Dean Wade back would he have been able to beat the Celtics once again. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow me on Twitter at Josh Engelman and give a shout out up there to Sleeper, the presenting sponsor of this show. Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves might just be here earlier than I expected them to be. They are punishing Denver. Denver has no ability to do anything, regardless of the health of Jamal Murray. Minnesota's putting them on them. That's tough. Indiana, on the other hand, they should have won that game. They got screwed over and over and over again in those final 2 minutes. To be in a competitive game like that where Tyrese Haliburton basically doesn't exist, that's going to be a really interesting series. But boy, oh boy, did the refs get that one wrong. Whew. Just over and over, mistake after mistake. To call that moving screen, embarrassing for the NBA. To get the kicked ball wrong, embarrassing for the NBA. But they are, Denver is in real trouble. The amount of teams that have come back from down 2-0, dropping your first two, are very minimal. To drop that one then after Gobert is out, I don't know how you come back from that. I have been waiting patiently to watch the Denver Nuggets potentially get to the finals and have this heroic matchup against Boston, and boy, oh boy, is that not happening. They are in trouble. They are in real big trouble. Yeah, that was unexpected. And they just beat the shit out of them right out of the gate, too. It's not like they broke away late. It was over earlier. Shout-out games, Denver and seven. Whew, you can probably get a pretty decent line on that one right now. Yeah, S&P, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Now, I think we're all... It's going to be very interesting how this shakes out, because I think we're looking at a scenario where the most likely scenario now is Minnesota gets through. I hope, get a Minnesota OKC Western Conference Finals, which will be insane. But I think we're going to end up, if this goes the way that it should go, we're going to look back at this playoffs and think, man, Boston really rolled through the league. I wonder how this whole Western Conference playoffs will get remembered if Boston just does everything you expect Boston to do. Because they are better than everybody else. It's not really all that close either. If this just holds serve for Boston, I really do wonder how we're going to look at this. It will be interesting. But for now, I say we talk a little bit of basketball for today, shall we? Bang. First team up, Cleveland Cavaliers, 11.5 point dogs in Boston, 208 total. This is very, very, it's very hard to want to get too much coming out of Cleveland. I don't think that's going to be all that surprising. Cleveland right now, the lowest owned team by a mile. By an absolute mile. Why can't Wolves hang with Boston? Because Boston's better? That's all. Don't get me wrong. I thought Denver was too, but Boston's on a different level. They're just on a different level. If Boston performs to their performance this year, like, these teams aren't close. We're talking about Boston being like 6-point favorites at home and favorites in Minnesota. The gap is huge. Everybody's going to overreact to Minnesota a little bit here, but you guys are going to underrate Boston. No, I think, I'm being proven wrong on the Wolves every day that goes by. I thought the Suns' offense would be a problem. It wasn't. I thought Denver would be Denver. They're not. Minnesota's looking better and better. But Boston needs Porzingis. Yeah, but they don't need him anytime soon. Boston can sleepwalk through the next two rounds. They don't need Kristaps Porzingis to beat Cleveland, New York, or Indy at all. They just need Kristaps Porzingis to be back in like 3 weeks. I don't think Minnesota, like, obviously Minnesota, it has a defense that is a problem, but for Boston to be able to attack from every sort of direction, that's where it starts to get difficult. Tatum's not slumping. They just haven't had to care. It's the first week of the playoffs in a series where they were double-digit favorites. Boston basically doesn't have to wake up for the playoffs. Josh is a hater. How about getting past the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to be light work. The Timberwolves defense reminds me of the 80s and 90s. They can switch everything. Oh, you mean in an era when they didn't switch anything? Boston doesn't always seem to choke when they're the big favorite. What are we doing here, guys? What are we doing here? Yes, S&P. It's almost like Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and pick your center isn't also a fantastic defense. Boston doesn't play defense. I wonder how you guys make it through the world every day. It's crazy. It's crazy. The reason that Boston is the overwhelming favorites to win the NBA title is because of how easy they have their next 3 weeks. The Porzingis, just in sports, it doesn't matter. It only matters when they get to the finals. The Boston Celtics, without Kristaps Porzingis, are 11.5-point favorites in game one. These aren't my opinions. They're 11.5-point favorites in game one. They don't need Kristaps Porzingis in this series. They need him to win the title. You want to go up against this Minnesota team in the finals if they get there? You 1,000,000% are going to need Kristaps Porzingis. You want to beat OK? Like, let's say Oklahoma City beats Dallas and then gets through Minnesota. I mean, they're the number one seed. That is the likely scenario. You're going to need Kristaps Porzingis. Chris Kennedy, no. The Indiana Pacers are not a tricky matchup for Boston. They're going to get destroyed. Guys, they're 11.5-point favorites in game one. We can't have it both ways. We can't look at this and be like, Cleveland's going to be tricky for Boston. This is way closer. And then if you guys see an 11.5 point line in the middle of January, you're like, oh, I can't roster that team. It's going to be a blowout. You can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways. They're going to steamroll Cleveland. That is the expectation. No, the refs 100% cost Indiana that game last night. Just is. You'll see the last 2 minute report today. The Knicks are dead against Boston. Dead. The Knicks have one move. Hope that Jalen Brunson can create something. And let me tell you what. Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. That is going to be a disaster for Jalen Brunson. That's just too much. He can't break all of that down by himself. That's if the Knicks get through for Boston, Boston is going to be dancing a jig because they're not going to have to, like, that's just going to be smooth. That's going to be smooth. I hope Denver does come back. That'd be fun. Yeah. We just got to get Kristaps Porzingis back for the finals. But for now, let's talk Cleveland here. And they look rough. 33% ownership coming into Donovan Mitchell. He's 8,600. He's point guard, shooting guard eligible. We've got Darius Garland, 25% owned. They're the only two guys above 15%. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Now, we're assuming Jared Allen is back. He's about 10% owned. That's where I have him. You've got Isaac Okoro as a potential value option. I'm getting to two of these guys from Cleveland. I'm holding hands with the field on Donovan Mitchell, and I think that's fine. I mean, clearly, he is the offense for Cleveland. He is about to run into a buzzsaw of defensive matchups. Spoiler alert, this is going to look a little bit better than getting Cole Anthony switched onto you. And then I'm getting actually to LeVert here. I went 24 minutes. Seemed like he was healthy enough to play more than that coming out of game 7. No reason that in a game 1 you don't see a little bit more of him. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Sam Merrill, if they want to try to get on the good side of any sort of 3-point variance. That's the kind of guy that could help them out in this spot. But Garland, 25% owned after what we just saw against Orlando, this is not going to get better for him. Like, if Jalen Suggs is guarding Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland probably had an okay matchup. Now, if Drew Holiday is guarding Donovan Mitchell, now Darius Garland's got Derek White. Not better. Oh, no, it's not Derek White. They just switched. It's Jaylen Brown. Not better. This is a real problem for Garland. So if he's going to pull a little bit of love, I'm cool with it. Nova 3. Josh, start hating. Stop hating. You guys have no idea how much I want to root for anybody that goes to Villanova, but that's neither here nor there. I spent more time at Villanova than I did any other college while I was in college, other than my own. Trust me, I'm cheering for guys that go to Villanova and have been for a very long time. But they don't have a chance in the playoffs. Zero. Straight zero. I mean, they can beat Indiana because they're Indiana, but Boston's going to beat the piss out of whoever they end up facing after they beat the piss out of Cleveland. So I assume everybody's with me on Mitchell. How do you guys feel about the ownership coming into Darius Garland? Quarter of the lineups right now. 6,400 is a nice price, but point guard only. I don't love it. I really don't. He's 24% optimal, 26% owned. Mitchell's 38 and 33. We're showing a ton of positive leverage on Evan Mobley. I didn't get a share. 7,600. I gave him 36 minutes. But if Allen is back, I don't really see it. This is a terrible spot, too. It's not like Boston's playing fast. Their defense is a problem. I don't know how Cleveland keeps up. I like LeVert for value, and I like Mitchell because he's Mitchell. Like, you want to get to a little bit of Strus and, you know, hope that game one is the game that Boston gives up 50 threes and they make 30 of them? Well, then Strus is probably the guy. Like, I think Strus and Okoro are both okay. You know, Okoro's like a 0.6 dude. King, that's a terrible call in that spot. If you want to call that a moving screen, you also have to call Dante DiVincenzo for a flop. You got to call them both. This is the playoffs, man. That screen's getting set every single possession down the floor. You can't make that call in that spot. It's got to be real bad. And that was not. That was like an 8% moving screen. You got to call the flop. You want to tell me that Miles Turner's moving on that screen? Sure. I think that's a bad call either way, but sure. You have to call the flop because Dante DiVincenzo exaggerated the call. And that is not, you are not able to do that. Jackoff, I don't ever stop yelling at the chat. Apparently, chat didn't get yelled enough at kids to know not to say dumb stuff. Because I wouldn't want to do that all the time. You guys going to get to Evan Mobley? You think he's going to shoot in this series? I'm guessing he's going to see a lot of... Who the hell are they going to hide on Evan Mobley? That doesn't even matter. That dude's not going to score. I don't have anything else that I could possibly say for Cleveland. To me, it's Donovan Mitchell and Caris LeVert is a GPP play. I'm not adding anything else here for Cleveland. Let's get to Boston. Wait until you see how I have these guys ranked for Boston. They basically all are the same dude. So we have 50% ownership coming into Al Horford, 35 to Derek White, 35 to Jaylen Brown, 30 to Jason Tatum, 25 to Drew Holiday, 20 to Hauser, 15 to Pritchard. Now, any one of the starting five, Horford, White, Brown, Tatum, Holiday, clearly very much in play. I have them ranked 5th, 6th, 9th, 12th, and 13th. All five of them look great. If you're asking me who I prefer at this particular moment, give me Drew Holiday before I get to Darius Garland in the same price tier at point guard. Now, I'm also dead neutral on Horford. I'm over a little bit on Brown. I'm over a little bit on Tatum. The only guy that I'm not over on is Derek White, and I still have 28%. Tatum's 30% optimal. Brown's 37% optimal. White's 26. Holiday's 24. Al Horford's 32. I don't know how you avoid the starting five of the Boston Celtics today. We don't know what the Cleveland matchups are going to look like, but somebody's going to have an advantage every single time down the floor. You either get Darius Garland on you, and he's not going to be strong enough if you get him switched onto someone like Drew Holiday. Is Max Strus a better defender? Yeah. Is he good enough to hang with any of the Boston guards and wings? No. I have no idea how Cleveland slows down Boston. You know Boston's going to rain threes. Those shots are going to get up in abundance. In abundance. Let's see where Cleveland was giving up threes this year. Cleveland. All right, in the playoffs, Cleveland's pretty much neutral in terms of three-pointers allowed. Let's see what we had in the regular season. Zero Cornette. Interesting. He's 0% owned. He's 0.5% optimal. He's 4K for reasons that don't make any sense. All right. Cleveland was eighth in the league in three-pointers allowed. They give up a lot more corner threes, and they take away most of their stuff above the break. So Al Horford, obviously, probably going to be in a pretty decent spot for some corner threes in this series. Might even be where they hide Strus. So when it comes to the Boston starting five, I'm just going to have a ton of them. I don't have much to add there. I have 242% of Boston. The only team that I have more of is OKC. I don't love Pritchard today at 4,200. Point guard only. 15% owned. You know, I think that he probably plays a decent chunk. I went 21 minutes, but the prop market just doesn't really support him being a great play. I think it's just easier to get to Hauser, $500 cheaper. You can easily play Hauser against Cleveland. 20% owned. You get the shooting guard, small forward eligibility. 3,700. That's just an easier value option to me. What do you guys like the most from the starting five? Like, I'm getting the most Drew Holiday, but I think it just has to do with the fact that he's also the lowest owned. It's not even like I have Drew Holiday projected all that well. I have him at 0.83 fantasy points per minute. Explore with Corey likes Holiday. Anthony Orlowski likes Al. Drew. Horford and Brown. Not a lot of... No Jason Tatum answers here. 9,700, small forward, power forward. Isn't this a great matchup for Jason Tatum? Like, this spot feels like Jason Tatum thrives. Who's slowing Jason Tatum down on Cleveland? They really don't have a matchup for Tatum. And who said that earlier? I think it was Steven. Oh, yeah. Holiday corner threes. You think he led the league in percentage there? How many did he take? Yeah, S&P, that's a good shout. Let's see. Drew Holiday, shooting frequency. 40. He was a 64th percentile corner three guy this year in terms of attempts. 45% of all of his shots were threes. That's up 8% from last year and 12% from the previous few. I love this series for Jason Tatum. Love it. I think he's got an incredible matchup. Boston will have problems with Cleveland's size. What size? Cleveland has size? They play Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt. They play Max Strus as the three and potentially Isaac Okoro as the four. What size? Jason Tatum's like as big as Evan Mobley. What size? Are they worried about Tristan Thompson's 6 minutes? So, we had a couple people mentioning Luke Kornet. I don't see it. One, it doesn't have to be Kornet. They could go small and spread out Cleveland. I assume they probably try to get Tillman out there for minutes. For Boston, they want to get an idea of who can be out there. Especially with no Porzingis. In game one, you know, 10-point favorites plus at home. I think you probably see a little bit of Cornette and a little bit of Tillman. I just don't trust the minutes for anybody there, whether that's Tillman, Cornette. I think they might bring O'Shea Brissett into it a little bit. They have the ability to play this first one, and they don't have to go too crazy. If you want me to rank the starting five, Al Horford 1, Jason Tatum 2, Drew Holiday 3, Jaylen Brown 4, Derek White 5. And I don't rank Derek White 5 because I don't like him. Someone had to be 5th. This is not going to be the lowest scoring series in the playoffs. Cleveland just played Orlando. Now they're playing the number one offense in the regular season. Slightly different offensive makeup. Just a hair. All right, 350 people in here. Hit that like button. Anything else you guys want to touch on for Boston? We're going to assume the answer is no, which means let's talk sleeper. Up to $500 on your deposit. If you're playing at Pick'em sites and you haven't signed up at Sleeper yet, you're sleeping on a perfect deal. Now, they'll match anything up to $500. You have $227, they will match $227. They have dynamic payouts, so they have multipliers on your picks. It's not just like, oh, I put three plays together, it pays out at 8x, whatever the number is. That's just what it is. No, you have multipliers. So if you take something that's a bit more of a long shot on Sleeper, that'll pay you off even more. Sort of more like a traditional schmarley, one might say. So my recommendation is to sign up at Sleeper, play through that bonus. By the time you play through it, maybe you find out you love Sleeper. Great, it worked out perfectly. Maybe you find out you don't. At the very least, you're starting out with a much bigger bankroll by using those deposit match bonuses. So click the link in the description of this video to sign up and enjoy Sleeper, everybody. All right, here we go. Now, the real game starts at 9:30. Dallas Mavericks, 3.5-point dogs in OKC, 218 total. I'm going to be honest. I think OKC is getting a little bit of a lack of respect. I think this series became a really nice spot for Oklahoma City. And I think the problem for Dallas now is that Maxi Kleba's out. I think Dallas is in real trouble with no Kleba. And I know how ridiculous that sounds, but every piece of a rotation needs to work in the playoffs. And Maxi Kleba is a perfect playoff rotational piece. Stretches the floor, strength enough to bang on at the four and the five, allows them to run a four or five out. Offensive setup. Now they are taking away a Swiss Army knife for their team. And now they're looking at it thinking, we need a rookie center and Daniel Gafford to be able to provide enough at the five to move them forward. They don't have any other options. When it doesn't work for Gafford and it doesn't work for Lively, they're out of options. What are they going to throw? PJ Washington at it? So he can go out there and miss some more shots. I am a big believer in the Oklahoma City Thunder in this series. For Dallas's ownership today, let's have a fun conversation. Gafford is 50% owned. Derek Lively is 50% owned. And honestly, I think you probably need at least one of them in most of the stuff that you're doing, because someone's going to fall into more minutes. If Giddy can't hit a shot, the Maxi Kleba thing is negligible. No, then you just don't play Josh Giddy. OKC does not care if Josh Giddy's going. They'd like him to, because then they're really going to beat the shit out of Dallas. But if Giddy can't hit a shot, he's just going to play 16 minutes and they'll put somebody else in. Because of no Maxi, because of the fact that you can't play Dwight Powell in the playoffs, because of the fact that you can't play PJ Washington as a center and hope to succeed, one of Gafford and Lively is going to play enough minutes to be good. If you think you know which one's which today, good luck, because I don't. I have no idea. But if you look at my exposures, I have 44% of Daniel Gafford. I have 56% of Derek Lively. The next most I have of anybody from Dallas is 6% of Derek Jones. Six. I don't have anybody here. I don't have a single share of Luka Doncic right now. He's 12K point guard only. How do you roster Luka? Terrible matchup. Whether they're throwing Jalen Williams at him, he's obviously going to see Lou Dort. They have other defensive pieces that they can at least ruin Luka's day. Luka's always going to get his. But at 12K, how do you pay down for him? What are you going to in these series? I think that price point is really tricky. We have him 31% optimal, 26% owned. I'm terrified of Luka today. Terrified. Derek Jones Jr., one share of Josh Green, one share of a 24% owned PJ Washington. I am not a believer in this Dallas team in game one. I am heavy to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder are my most exposed team. Talk to me about Luka, guys. What do you guys think about Luka? I don't know if Jones gets SGA. I think they have to put Jones on Jalen Williams. I don't think I don't think Derek Jones Jr. is the matchup they go with against SGA long term. If it is, then I'm here to say that when you guys see my exposure for Jalen Williams, you're going to want to be with me, because Jalen Williams is going to be the higher scoring player for Oklahoma City. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Obviously, Luka looks incredible. But the real problem is, if Luka Doncic is 12K, Jason Tatum's 9,700, and Shea is 9,100, those other guys are just more cost effective. They just are. Yeah, Josh Green will get a little bit of SGA. But the Mavs' biggest problem right now is the matchup on Jalen Williams. Luka's just... I mean, here are the guys at the bottom of the salary tier today and the ownership. We have 20% ownership to Sam Hauser, 16 to Aaron Wiggins, 15 to Josh Green, 19 to Isaiah Joe, and 11 to Cason Wallace. So you're going with the OKC bench to roster Luka? That's hard. I also think this is a really bad matchup for Luka Doncic. Like, Lou Dort is not going to be a fun time for Luka. That's going to be not ideal. Jalen Williams can handle that switch. I mean, shooting over Chet won't be fun. S&P, I don't think he's viable because he's never been viable. He's never been able to defend the five his entire life. I have a hard time believing he's going to be able to do it in the second round of the playoffs. He's not that guy. He's just not that guy. Hopefully they let him shoot. But I just don't see it for Dallas tonight. What do you guys like from Dallas today? I assume you like one of the centers. I'm not going to try to pretend like one looks better than the other. What do you like from Dallas that isn't one of the centers? News guy, Dort will be on on Luka as much as possible. I'll bet Chet would love to get PJ Washington as the matchup. So you don't think the Mavs have an overwhelming rebounding edge? I mean, depends on how you want to look at it. Mavs, by the way, 17th in defensive rebounding so far in the playoffs. There's only 20 teams. It's not that Oklahoma City is a bad rebounding team. They just choose not to do it. There's a difference. They're aware of it. They're also going to run it down Dallas's throat. All right, let's circle back here. Irving, I think I would rather get to Kyrie. Lively only and maybe Kyrie. Not a lot of love here coming in from the Dallas side. Why would you choose not to rebound? Come on, BD. Have you watched basketball before? All these things go together. You don't want to crash the defensive glass or the offensive glass? That's fine. You choose not to crash the offensive glass. You give up the ability to get those rebounds so that you don't get beat in transition defense. It's all a push and pull. They're choosing different things. They choose to opt out of offensive rebounding so that they can play better transition defense. That's it. It's a decision. Like, you know, you think if they wanted Chet to stop being at the 3-point, like, another piece of this has to do with if you're playing someone like Chet Holmgren at the 5, he's not naturally at the rim as much because you want him spacing the floor as well. Well, if you have him spacing the floor, all you're doing is pulling him out of position to go for an offensive rebound instead of immediately getting him back to cancel out any transition. Let's talk some Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the team that I'm getting to in a big, big, big way. Give me all of them. I want the whole damn team. 50% ownership coming into Shea. I'm matching it. 50% ownership coming into Jalen Williams. He's in all but two of my lineups. Point guard, small forward eligibility. Chet isn't a stretch four. Good God. Josh Giddey, 44% owned. This is the only one that concerns me. I got 54% of Giddey. He's such a good per-minute guy. But I'm nervous about his minutes. Because he can play anywhere from like 28 or 29 all the way down to 17 or 18. That part gets scary to me. He can get himself played out of this series. He's the only guy that I'm getting to here from Oklahoma City that gives me a little bit of pause. 8 of 13 from 3 over the past two games. Let's keep that momentum alive. PJ Washington would kill for that. S&P, I agree. The Josh Green, Tim Hardaway Jr. dynamic is interesting. So Giddey is the only one where I'm getting him, and it makes me nervous. But the price point and the position, it doesn't take much. When he's out there, he's a great per-minute dude. Oh, by the way, 40% owned Chet Holmgren is in 40% of my lineups. 50% owned Lou Dort is in 68% of my lineups. I'm even getting some Isaiah Joe. I'm getting a little bit of Cason Wallace. I have some shares of Aaron Wiggins. I even got a couple of Jalen Williams with a Y. Ron, I went 26 minutes. This is very easily the best team you can get to today. Dallas's defense is not the same thing as Cleveland's for that matchup. OKC's offense is fourth in the league heading into this. The pace of this game is going to be faster than Cleveland-Boston. The total is 10 points higher. This is the spot, man. OKC is primed and ready to destroy Dallas because their salaries just aren't high enough. They're really easy to get to. They're starting four out of their starting five is completely unassailable. Chet, Jalen Williams, Dort, SGA. No one is playing their way into those minutes. You are safe to let them rip for Chet 32, but everybody else, you know, 36 plus. I want all things OKC. This is clearly the best team you can get to. Clearly. I love it. I love it. I love it. Do I buy in that Dallas's D has been improved post-trade? Yeah, sure. Look, I hated the Daniel Gafford trade because I don't think that you should be trading a future first-round pick for Daniel Gafford. But bringing in Daniel Gafford and getting rid of nobody unequivocally makes your team a little bit better. It helps your defense, for sure. Their defense, it's not going to help them to not have Maxi Kleber, though. Dallas does not have a front court advantage. Never in the history of the world has Daniel Gafford been a front court advantage against someone. And we're also about to see SGA rank ahead of Luka Doncic in the MVP. I think. Should. But yeah. Front court? No. Not close. Give me Chet and Jalen Williams over Daniel Gafford and Derek Jones Jr. Come on. What are we talking about? It's not even close. It's not even close. What do you guys like from OKC? Who's your number one dude from the Thunder? Is it Shea just because he's 9,100? I mean, it's Jalen Williams for me because of that guard forward eligibility. To be point guard, small forward eligible, that's massive. Luka will be the highest DK scorer in this matchup. Give me one second, guys. All right, what else we got coming into chat here? Jalen, SGA. Dallas wins series 4-2. You should bet that. S&P, don't be bringing those facts into this. Boston played bad once a couple years ago, so we can't ever think that they're going to be good, even though they were incredibly young and way before their time at that point. Boston, Cleveland may have a higher team total than OKC versus Dallas. How do we do... Coach Chris, it's 10 points behind. It's not a hypothetical. They don't submit them in secret ballots. That information is out there. I'm very nervous that Chandra said Williams. I don't like it if he's going to be on my guy. That's tricky. We'll take a quick look at what my number one lineup was coming out of The Sims. And that would have been Donovan Mitchell, Caris LeVert, Lou Dort, Al Horford, Derek Lively, Drew Holiday, Jalen Williams, SGA. Yes, please. I am happy to get that lineup together. Yeah, Dort, 4,700, small forward. Jack Adams looks great. Looks absolutely great. By the way, guys, in case I haven't mentioned it yet, we got some shows coming up after this. MLB Strategy Show coming up next. Let me make sure I get those times correct for you guys. Strategy Show at 11 a.m. MLB Live Before Lock with Laffy and Bellman at 5 p.m. NBA Live Before Lock at 6 p.m. with myself and Eric. And then I will be back once again for playback from 7 to 8. Who wins tonight? Boston and OKC. Yeah, Boston and OKC. Good luck to anybody that chooses Cleveland to win outright here. But yeah, I'm just a really big believer in OKC. I think the Maxi Kleba piece is going to hurt Dallas in this series. The kind of guy you really needed. And it's not helpful to remove a key cog of your playoff rotation. I hope OKC wins at least. Not that I am not cheering for Dallas. I mean, I obviously love Luka, but I am looking for OKC here. Not to mention, I would like to see an OKC-Minnesota series. I think that would be pretty fun, assuming Minnesota handles their biz against the Denver Nuggets. I think that's all we've got here, folks. Anybody have any further questions before I get on out of here? What do you got for me? Anything at all? Anything at all? Best value for the slate. Let's see who I have the most of. Give me 1 second. My best value option, the guy that I have the most of, there really isn't one. The highest owned guy is Sam Hauser. I think Isaac Okoro looks pretty similar at 1/4 of the ownership. Yeah, Ron, it didn't work out for me. That's for sure. S&P, I mean, they'd have to win it. And they're not going to win it. But no, they traded future assets to get Daniel Gafford. I will never grade that as a good trade. Ever, ever, ever. Alrighty, folks. Thank you for being here. This was fun. Back tomorrow. I assume we have both games tomorrow and it's just normal. Or is there a travel day? No, we only have Pacers-Knicks tomorrow because of the travel day. Okay. Well, one game tomorrow. Pacers-Knicks at 8 p.m. But for now, I'm going to get on out of here. Adios, everybody. Thank you for being here. This was The Strategy Show.